Welcome to the Committee on Government Oversight. My name is Craig Hickman. I represent Senate District 14, which are 12 municipalities in Southern Kennebec County, including my beloved hometown of Winthrop. It's good to see everyone again. We have not met for 2 months. July was very hot and people were on vacation. And so we decided to postpone that entire meeting's agenda until today. So we are very fortunate to be back as a committee in our committee room. We'll begin with committee introductions before turning to our agenda. I'll start on my left with Representative Blyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mark Blyer. I represent House District 138, which is Lymington, Cornish, and part of Hollis and Buxton.
Good morning. Sowen Millett, House 81, including the towns of Greenwood, Norway, Stoneham, Stowe, Sweden, my hometown of Waterford, and three unorganized territories in southern Oxford County.
Good morning. I'm Anne Marie Mastracchio. I represent House District 142, which is part of the city of Sanford and the village of Springville.
Good morning. My name is Amy Arata, and I represent part of Gray and New Gloucester.
Senator Tibbett. Mr. Billings, thank you for being here today. You may make an opening statement.
Thank you, Senate Chair Hickman. Good morning, House Chair Fay and members of the committee. My name is Jim Billings. I'm the Executive Director of the Maine Commission on Public Defense Services, formerly Indigent Legal Services. With me today is Steve Brochu. He's the director of our audit division. I've asked him to join us in light of some of the questions that Director Schleck sent us by email. So Steve will be happy to answer any specific questions about financial policies or procedures. I'm going to stick to more the core of, I think, why we're here. I don't want to take a lot of time making a long statement because I want to be able to answer any questions that members have, but I would like to respond to some of the questions in Director Schleck's email from July 11. First, I'll start with the grim realities. Yesterday, we had 152 total participants on our rosters. That means the courts, looking at our electronic roster now at the clerk's computer, have 152 total lawyers to choose from to appoint to any matter in the state of Maine. Broken down further, that is 102 attorneys willing to do trial level work, 34 willing to do protective custody work, and 35 taking adult criminal cases statewide. Now, beyond that, many court rosters are completely devoid of eligible counsel that a court can appoint right off a roster. Many courts have homicide, lawyer of the day. They may have a smattering of other attorneys that have opted in to take cases in their individual courts. But for a lot of courts, a lot of our categories are completely devoid of counsel. That 152 opted in daily roster number changes by the day, and that is a subset of a larger number of 289 attorneys that have renewed with us to this point as of yesterday. There were 368 total lawyers in our system billing our system in March, the last time I checked that number. And so we have multiple subsets of attorneys. We have a larger 368 number that is working on any case in our system that may have been rostered, may have been renewed when they received the case and are no longer renewed, no longer rostered. Then we have a smaller subset, which I expect to be close to 300 when the late renewals roll in, of people that have renewed in our program who have demonstrated an interest in carrying on while doing our work. And then we have the smaller daily I've opted in to defender data and a court can appoint me without further consultation to a matter that I'm eligible for. So that's the current roster status. What that unfortunately boils down to is we had, as of last Friday, 834 people in the state of Maine charged with a crime, not 834 people, 834 criminal matters. Some people have more than one criminal matter. 834 criminal matters where there was no lawyer available, and they've been on a list circulated by the judicial branch and us usually three times a week, some of them going on weeks, some of them going on months. 96 child protective custody cases in need of attorneys, 11 post-conviction review cases in need of attorneys, and then 20 appellate cases cases that are on appeal, needing an attorney, and then a smattering of other one here, one there for different categories. From my check on Friday's list, there were 222 people in custody who did not have a lawyer in the state of Maine charged with a crime. Some of them are held on other matters. They may be in execution of a sentence. They could be on a probation hold. But nevertheless, they're in custody without an attorney faced with new charges.
Mr. Billings, I don't mean to interrupt. I didn't hear the number on child protection cases.
96, sir.
Thank you. Please proceed.
So the trend has been holding steady since about May, between 800 and 900 on the adult criminal list. It was 250 on January 3rd, and it's been growing steadily this spring. And since May, it is bounced between 700, 800, 850, might have gone over 900 at one point, but it doesn't seem to be experiencing the exponential growth that it was earlier this year. And so for the past 90 days or so, the list has hovered in this 800-ish area. People are taking cases off the list. So I'll give you a bit of the good news. That's the bad news. The good news is that recruitment is up. Since the rate increase in March of 2023, I believe our monthly new entries into our program have more than doubled. And also our Chapter 3 applicants have more than doubled. I may distinguish between Chapter 2 and Chapter 3 today. The Chapter 2 cases are any case anyone in our program can take, a lot of misdemeanors, some felonies like property crimes, like burglary. Anyone with a bar card and a pulse who's taken our minimum standards training is eligible to take those cases. And those cases comprise somewhere near half of that list I referenced, the 834 cases. The rest of that list is what we refer to as Chapter 3 cases, which are specialized panel cases that require additional experience and training in order to take those cases, which include homicide, sex offenses, major felonies, OUI, DV assault, and some others, including appeals and PC cases. We recently enacted an emergency rule, Chapter 3, that amended Chapter 3. It became slightly more stringent in March of this year. And one of the recent criticisms we're aware of is that it's too hard for people to take our cases. And so partially in response to the number of cases without an attorney, we went through emergency rulemaking at our July 22nd meeting to loosen up some of the Chapter 3 requirements and make it easier to give waivers to the executive director. We've had very little response to that in roughly the month since we enacted that emergency measure. That emergency measure expires the end of October. And between now and then, we'll decide whether we want to make some of those changes permanent or not.
Mr. Billings, if you don't mind, can you speak to what seemed to be too stringent and what you did with this emergency rulemaking to lessen that?
We tweaked three separate components of Chapter 3. One was the old rule only allowed the executive director to waive one of these two things: years of experience or trial experience, mostly jury trial experience. So if somebody had worked for 15 years as a criminal defense lawyer, but had only done two jury trials in the last either 5 or 10 years, I'm not sure which it is, it's in the rule, they couldn't be on the homicide panel unless they got a waiver. And they could get a waiver because they only didn't meet one of those. But if they had 10 years as a prosecutor and 4 years as a criminal defense lawyer and two jury trials, I could not give them a waiver under the formal rule because that would have required waiving both criteria. So we've tweaked that component of it. The other tweak was we did not allow anyone seeking a waiver to submit a letter of reference from someone else in their firm, hoping that we would get people to submit letters of reference, I guess, more impartial. I felt that was too restrictive personally, because a lot of times the letters that come in saying so-and-so is doing a great job are from people that see them in court. And that's somewhat of a superficial paragraph letter that says, I've seen, you know, Jim in court and he really kicks butt and you should put him on the panel. People in the same firm have more experience with their colleagues. They go to case study meetings. They talk about cases together. They know if the attorney can spot issues. They know more than what they just see in court. So I wanted to open that up. The third one is another minor tweak that is completely slipping my mind at this point, but it was a very minor thing in the rule. I could search for it if you want me to, but it was not a huge deal. It was another one of these minor tweaks to hopefully let more people come forward if they so desired, and I think make it easier to get a waiver.
Understood. And you say this emergency rulemaking changes will expire at the end of October.
I think it's the 29th.
Thank you. Are there any other questions about this particular matter from the committee? Seeing none, please proceed.
Thank you. So the other good news, aside from, you know, we do see an uptick in interest in our program, even though that has not replaced, you know, people retiring or people being inundated with cases and unable to take new cases. We're very happy with the success so far of the rollout of the public defense system that we're opening in Maine. We had the RDU during Justin's tenure, and those attorneys have been doing a really good job, primarily up in Aroostook and Penobscot counties and also down east a little bit. But there's a lot of inefficiency built into that, and so we wanted to switch to brick-and-mortar public defender's offices spread around the state. And we set up the system so that the offices would be able to cover the courts within roughly an hour radius from their location. And we sized the offices so that the attorneys could cover roughly 30% of the adult criminal cases in all of the courts they could service within an hour's drive of their offices. And we based that on our caseload standards and other recommended standards for caseloads. And then we selected the support staff necessary to support that level of attorneys based on ABA principles and guidelines. We then sited our first office in Kennebec County last fall. That came out of the long session, the Part B budget, I believe, which took effect October 25th of last year. That office was up and running within 30 days. We're very happy to get the deputy district attorney, Frayla Tarpinian, to lead that office. And she was able to fully staff that office with attorneys before the end of the calendar year and then get most of her staff in place early in the first quarter of calendar year 24. And we've already seen a dent in the number of cases in the Kennebec County area going to the private bar based on the work that the public defender office has done, which I think is already going to result in some savings for the hourly billing coming out of Kennebec County for the contract attorneys. We were then very fortunate and very much appreciate the bipartisan support given to the emergency bill, LD 653, in this supplemental budget cycle that authorized the creation of the Aroostook County and Penobscot and Piscataquis County offices sited in Caribou and Bangor, respectively. We've got the Caribou office full of attorneys. They start the end of the month. We have hired the district defender in Bangor. We're very happy with the level of experience and expertise that our district defenders have had so far. Toby Jondro moved from the RDU to the Caribou office. We've got a couple of experienced public defenders who have moved to Aroostook County from Louisiana because Louisiana is going in the opposite direction of Maine, and they are moving towards more of a contract system instead of public defender offices. So we're happy to have that staff with attorneys, and we're continuing to try and hire staff. Bangor has been a challenge. We have been happy to have Logan Perkins as the district defender, and we've had an RDU member who lives in the Bangor area transfer into that office, and they are taking some cases in the Bangor area. However, we've had to post and repost multiple times the other trial attorney positions for the Bangor office. We've had multiple candidates withdraw after interviews. We had a candidate from out of state we liked very much who missed the UBE bar score for Maine by 4 points and is licensed and practicing in Minnesota very well. We recently hired Max Coolidge for the Down East office that covers Hancock and Washington counties. Max is one of our resource council, which is a name we give our experienced counsel that act as mentors for other attorneys. He's done a lot of appellate work and trial work. We believe the RDU member that lives in Machias that moved here from Los Angeles is going to probably move into that Down East office and create a vacancy in the RDU. There's another position posted for the Ellsworth office that's going to consist of three attorneys. So two of those are pretty much lined up, and we're advertising for the third. The Lewiston office, which serves Androscoggin, Oxford, and Franklin counties, is set to open right after Labor Day. We've hired Jesse Archer, who is one of our homicide resource counsel, very experienced trial attorney, a veteran, and someone that I think is respected in that local bar, and we think will do great things over there. That office is supposed to have six attorneys, including him. So I think five trial attorneys and Jesse, those positions are posted. The Ellsworth and Lewiston office postings close the end of this month. And so we'll have a better sense of what we have for applicants for those offices around Labor Day. So those are the sort of updates on all the authorized offices. Based on the need that we've seen in the protective custody realm, our thinking has evolved since I started, and probably since Justin was executive director. I think we always wanted, and going back to John Pelletier, I think we proposed appellate and post-conviction review units at various points. But based on the number of cases in need of attorneys for protective custody cases, and the fact that you always need at least two parents, almost always need at least two parents' attorneys, and sometimes more, and you need a guardian, and a lot of the guardians do our work, that shortage has prompted us to repurpose the RDU into a parents' counsel unit serving protective custody cases for parents. So we hired Molly Owens from Down East to be the Parents Council Division Chief statewide. And we're going to take the vacant RDU positions as we anticipate RDU members moving into brick and mortar public defenders offices. And we do those job classifications and post those for Parents Council positions. And we hope that those are posted this fall and that we're able to hire and put to work some parents' attorneys. I don't think we will utilize the RDU model as far as having them drive from one end of the state to the other, because right now the protective custody case issue is not an Aroostook County issue. It's a Western and Southern and Central Maine issue. The cases are in Kennebec, Somerset, York. And what we plan to do is hire parents' counsel wherever they live, have them cover the courts near them. There's plenty of work to do, and they will work out of a local brick and mortar public defender office for office space and support staff until we get more positions. So that's the current planning. We're putting together our budget. We have a commission meeting Monday, but we need to vote on the budget initiatives and present that to the budget office, I think, September 1st or right after Labor Day. Amongst the budget initiatives are the request to authorize and fund the remaining three public defender offices on the adult criminal side, York, Cumberland, and Midcoast, which would serve the four counties that serve by that prosecutorial district, likely to be situated in the Rockland area, but that may need a satellite office given the number of courts and counties. I know the DA's office, I think, has a satellite office in Bath for that region. We anticipated, I think, initially having a combined York and Cumberland office, but for a variety of reasons, I think it's going to be better if those are separate offices. And so in the budget proposal, we're asking again for enough attorneys and staff to take roughly one third of the adult criminal cases in those three remaining geographic regions. Part of fiscal year 26 request is to go and increase the number of parents counsel we can hire so that we can staff one parent in one third of the protective custody cases. And in fiscal year 27, we're asking to bump from one third on the adult criminal side and the parent side to one half capacity. Ultimately, I would like to get to a hybrid system where it's roughly 50% outside private appointed counsel and 50% in-house public defenders. So that's a summary of sort of where we are and a little bit of hope about where I think we're going. One of the questions that was asked is, do I think that's going to be enough? That's too soon to know. Mm-hmm. But I think if we are able to get through this session, any sort of expedited passage of these three new adult criminal offices, either in the emergency supplemental cycle or as another emergency standalone bill, we'll be in a remarkably different place than we are right now this time next year.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee about this bad news, good news update from the director? Seeing none.